Welcome to the Heal and Restore podcast, where we engage in open and honest conversation about spirituality, marriage, family, and the struggles and victories we encounter on this journey we call life. Our goal is that you will find a new way of living as you look closer at yourself in these areas of your life, which will lead to a new, happier, and healthier you. Now, here's your host, the power couple, Randy and Kathy Boyd. Greetings and welcome to this episode of the Heal and Restore podcast. And today we have a...
It's a new month,
yeah. Right? It's going to be April 1st. And April is Child Abuse Month.
Yeah.
Which is something I'm passionate about. So we're going to be discussing all things having to do with child abuse this month. This is going to be difficult topics. And I would suggest that as much as you might want to turn this off, that you would listen to it, because we all need to educate ourselves on this subject around abuse, whether it's sexual, physical, emotional, spiritual, and even child trafficking, which is prevalent right now. Mm-hmm. So as hard as this might be, and you might say to yourself, this isn't going to affect me, you need to listen to this, especially that you're saying that you definitely need to listen to that.
Yeah. And just, I'm going to share the statistics here in a minute, which you're going to see are all over the place. And it's all based upon, you know, what is reported, but we know, and we'll talk about this too, that there's so much that goes on that's unreported.
Yeah.
And so these statistics, even though you might feel are something that, you know, oh, it doesn't affect me. When you hear these statistics, I can pretty much bet on, you'll know somebody that falls under these statistics.
And I want to say this as well as parents that might be listening. I'm going to urge all clergy to listen to this podcast the entire month, because when you hear the statistics, then you got to carry those statistics over to your church. And you're going to be blown away about these statistics and how many people have been abused, sexually abused especially.
Yeah, no, it's important that, like Randy says, we educate ourselves and we educate those around us.
Yes.
So I'm going to start with statistics. So this is going to be a little hard to hear, but here we go. So 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 4 boys are sexually abused before the age of 18. Now, that particular statistic comes from the LISA Project of 2010. We believe it's probably more like 1 in 2 the board.
Yeah, with the work I've done over the last
10, 12 years. You know,
yeah.
This is what the LISA Project said in 2010. But again, that was 14 years ago.
Right.
The other crazy one is 1 in 6 boys before the age of 18 are sexually abused. That comes from 1in6.org. And that's taken from a report by Jim Hopper, PhD, on sexual abuse of males from 1996. Now, again, 28 years ago. So you can see how inconsistent this reporting is.
And this, actually, this next statistic you're going to show is probably the most accurate one as of late, and even that was 2005.
Go yeah, ahead. So in 2005, Johnson et al. Found that 59%, that is 1 in 1.7, of their samples have been sexually abused. And 100% of abuse victims had reported some use of drugs.
So what those victims are, they had 100 samples, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a San Antonio County jail, and it was, were they abused prior to going to jail, not why they were in jail,
right?
And that 59% are the ones that admitted they were.
Right, admitted again. Right. How many of those never said anything?
Right, exactly.
Or, you
exactly.
know, because pride and ego and fear, yes. There's so many things that block people from speaking up.
Yes.
The other one is less than 10% of child sexual abuse is reported by the police. That's Megan's Law in Crime Victim Center. Less than 10%. That's a very small population of people that are reporting.
And I was that less than 10% in my life.
Right. So, you know, if you, you know, sit in a circle of 10 people, one person in that circle probably reported that maybe they were abused, maybe. But maybe. how many of the other nine didn't report?
Right.
You know, so you've got to look at it that way.
And so people will say, well, why didn't you say anything? As a matter of fact, I had on a radio show, I had the host ask me, you're a big guy, why didn't you say anything? Mm-hmm. Well, I was, you know, 12 to 17 years old back in the 70s. And, you know, or they actually what they said, why didn't you beat the crap out of him? Because that's not what I did. I wasn't supposed to. So there's a lot of reasons why we have not, why we did not speak up.
Yeah.
The loss of our food, that's a whole nother subject.
Yeah. But
there is a lot of reasons.
There's more to that. Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
So this other one is 80% of the men who have been sexually abused have substance abuse history, as reported by the Mental Health Association in New York State. We know that to be true.
Yeah.
And then the final one is children are most vulnerable between the ages of 8 and 12. And again, that comes from Megan's Law and Crime Victims Center.
And that's been proven to be very accurate. And in fact, I didn't put them on this handout. I wrote them down on a different handout. But when it comes to child trafficking, 27% of all trafficking victims are children. More than 10 million are adults and 4 million are children. 66% of child trafficking victims are girls. So, and those girls are, and those kids are, you know, mostly around the age of 12 is when they get them.
So, they're most vulnerable.
Yeah. So, and I can't go into a lot of that because I haven't done my research, but that's just what
that'll be another topic.
Yeah, that could be
for the month.
Yeah, that's what I did find out.
Yeah. So yeah, no, that's crazy. So let's talk about this. What is abuse? This is your area of expertise. I'm here to support. So tell us, you know, what is abuse?
So let's get into what the professionals say, because it's pretty accurate, really. Mm-hmm. It is. So abuse of any type occurs when someone has power over another and uses that power to hurt you, okay, or coerce you. Physical abuse means that someone exercises physical power over another, causing physical wounds. Okay, so first of all, any child being physically abused, it should never happen.
Right.
I can go into
bruises,
broken bones. You know, even hitting. Even if you're not. If you're bruising them, I mean, I could get into some biblical stuff that'll tell you what you're doing is absolutely wrong. And you're going to be, Jesus does not want you doing that, but we don't have time to get into that right now. Sexual abuse means that someone exercises sexual power over another, resulting in sexual wounds. Okay. Mm-hmm. And believe me, sexual abuse from my experience and from what I know does the most damage to a person. It's like, I had it revealed to me one morning in a meditation that the damage is deeper than you'll ever imagine, or the scarring is deeper than you can ever imagine. The damage is incomprehensible. Yeah. And that is the truth. Okay. And then spiritual abuse happens when a leader with spiritual authority uses the authority to coerce, control, or exploit a follower, thus causing spiritual wounds. And believe me, there's a lot of that kind of spiritual abuse going on. However, there's another part of spiritual abuse that's even more damaging. And that is the minute that a child is abused, the spirit of that child has been assassinated, right? And Karen Devine from ABC News was doing a series on child abusers, and she interviewed one. And I can remember she asked this guy that he was in prison, when you abuse a child, what are you doing to them? And he said, we're assassinating their character.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it does extreme amount of damage that it is incomprehensible to the layperson. Mm-hmm. They don't understand the amount of damage, and it carries, if they don't get help early on, that damage affects every part of their life for as long as they're stuck in that as long as they got that in their mind and what happened to them. Victim mentality. I mean, it hurt our marriage, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, it affects a lot in a person's life. Just so you know, don't ever say get over it. The words you need to forget, and move on need to be removed from your vocabulary. Mm-hmm. We do need to forgive. We do need to move on. But those are processed. We will never forget. So don't even put that in your vocabulary.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. And, you know, we talk about very openly, you know, in your situation, we shared with our kids when it became age appropriate, because, you know, kids are resilient, but they also feel everything that's going on in the home. So, you know, if there's stress factors going on because of one parent or the other who has been through an emotional, spiritual, physical, sexual abuse, it is affected in the entire home, because Absolutely. Whatever you're feeling as that person who's been abused, it's everybody's feeling something from it. Maybe not the same feelings and emotions you have, but there is something that's kind of bleeding over on all of us.
In fact, my book, Healing the Wounded Child Within, is a book we recommend to everybody, mm-hmm. whether you're abused or not, to read.
They're informative.
Or if you suspect that somebody in your family has been abused, Kathy read it. And what did it help you with?
So, Kathy? I think, you know, when you're living with somebody who's been abused and you there's some trauma that I took on as a result of that. Right. I have my own PTSD going on. But in the book, even though I had lived with Randy through this, reading the book gave me those aha moments. It's like, oh, this makes sense. Even though I was living it, I was just managing myself through it. But when I can read a book that is about somebody that I know, it's about me, there's, you know, my name is in it, and I'm reflecting, it all made perfect sense. And I think that is the most educational thing somebody can do for family members, is to have clarity and understanding on what the person who has been abused has gone through. Not so much the details of the abuse itself, it's the aftermath mm-hmm. of the abuse, the results of the abuse, the emotions, the anger, the bitterness, the feelings of wanting revenge, all of those things are tied up. And so as a family member reading this book, it gave me more clarity, which gave me more compassion, which gave me more understanding and empathy. Not to say that all of those behaviors were going to be okay, but I learned to manage those behaviors better, not good, but better. And as time went on, as Randy was healing, I was healing. Mm-hmm. And that's the key of this, is understanding to heal, not understanding just to know it all, but understanding to heal your own wounds.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was good.
Yeah. You can't, what she says, she got inside my head with a book.
Yeah, pretty much. And you know what? And then I always share this, and you've shared this before too, is that, you know, reading the book, I think it was one night I went through 7 chapters laying in bed with tissues under my glasses, catching my tears because it was so emotional. I can place myself there. What I was reading was the man I fell in love with. And I was understanding that man differently. Mm-hmm. And I think that was really keys, because I know that all of the damage that the abuse had in him and in our marriage wasn't because he was a bad person. It was because of his hurt. Mm-hmm. And exactly. So I saw his hurt from a whole different perspective. And that really helped in my healing as well.
Exactly. So yeah. That's why that book is so important.
Yeah. Ooh, right. Got me.
Matter of fact, I need to get it out there more and more. I need to figure out how to get it out there, because everybody needs to read it.
So. Yeah, it's such a good.
It's a book of hope and healing. It's not a dark book that just talks about the abuse. It's
hope, healing, understanding, clarity.
Absolutely.
And you can get the book on Amazon. Yes. So it's, you know, it's such a valuable resource for a family who has been through this. If you're a therapist, if you're a coach, if you're a pastor, a leader, it's something to just get educated,
right?
So that
right.
you know how to direct people.
Exactly.
So yeah, Healing the Wounded Child Within.
Yeah.
Got to get it on Amazon. Let's move on here. So okay. Let's talk about, what is sexual abuse?
All right, a little more. Sexual abuse as outlined in the Penal Code in mm-hmm. Section 11165.
There's a penal code.
Is defined as penetration or external touching of a child's intimate parts, oral sex with a child, indecent exposure, using a child for prostitution, the manufacturing of child pornography, or any other sexual act performed in a child's presence, sexual gratification. My stepfather and my mother were great at doing that, right? It was so embarrassing on my part. I would hide, and oh, it was bad. Sexual abuse also includes the willful failure of a parent or caretaker to make reasonable efforts to stop child sexual abuse by any person. And, you know, I just got to say, my mother was very much, that was her. She did not make any kind of effort to stop any kinds of the abuse that I was getting.
So I don't know if you have, if you're going to cover this, but this is a great question that I have is, you know, what blocks parents from saying or reporting if they have knowledge or they have suspect that abuse is going on with their child? What is it that keeps them from reporting or from making that call?
You know, it's fear of the perpetrator, number one. Mm-hmm. It's fear of losing their stability, even though the household is probably not stable, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the worst things I heard were a 9-year-old girl was being told by her grandpa, "I'm going to show you how to you satisfy men." And this 9-year-old girl was being raped by her grandfather. And when she told her mother slapped the living crap out of her and told her, "You're lying. If you did it, you wanted it, it's your fault." So they're afraid to break up the family structure.
Yeah.
Right. Which is sad. And they're afraid of the legal consequences.
Yeah. So I will just say, as hard as this is, this subject, if you are a parent, if you are a caretaker, if you are overseeing children in a childcare environment and you have suspect, it is your responsibility, yes, as an adult and as a human being to help these children, and you have to report it.
Yep.
The consequences are the consequences, but you have to live with those consequences if you don't.
And the consequences the child's going to live with?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, far my greater. God. It's far greater, okay? But your consequences for not reporting, as it says right here in the penal code, you're gonna suffer some right, legal consequences if you do not report somebody that's abusing or try to stop somebody that is abusing a child.
Yeah, it's almost like we talked about this when we talk about suicide. You know, if you're dealing with somebody, wouldn't you rather make a report and have it be wrong than not make a report and have this child go through these things, the mental health that is affected right by them, the potential for, yeah, the high risk potential of addiction right is there for them. Right. The potential for suicide is there for, yes, them. So I, as a parent, would far more take a risk of having a call be made and have it be investigated and find nothing than to not do anything at all.
Let me ask you, the question would be this. How are you going to live with yourself, mm-hmm, if you don't report right it, you find out that child is being abused, yeah, and somewhere along the line, he ends up getting severely hurt or psychologically wounded?
Mm-hmm. No.
How are you going to live with yourself?
Yeah, no.
Okay? I would rather report it, have the person pissed off at me, right, than have to live with myself, yeah, right, not reporting and find, yeah, out it was true.
Absolutely. That's why I say it. Yeah. The risk far outweigh, the long-term risk far, right, outweigh the short-term.
Judith Lewis Herman, she's a psychologist, says this: any touch or other behavior between the child and the adult that must be kept a secret, this is powerful, will be considered abuse. If it's okay that you're touching or doing something to a child, mm-hmm, why can they not say something?
Right. Yep.
Okay, so you got, if you're protecting your children, right, and you're not doing nothing, but you need to read that to your child and let them know that, hey, if anybody's touching you inappropriately, you need to come and talk to me right away.
And if they tell you it's our little secret, that's not a secret.
It's not a secret.
Have.
No, and the secrets have a good ending, period. Right? Like, hey, Garrett, we're taking hypothetically, when my kids are younger, Garrett, we're going to take Alyssa to Disneyland this coming Saturday for her birthday, but don't tell her, okay? I'm letting you know, but that's what we're going to do this weekend. So it's a secret that we're keeping amongst us, but it's going to be revealed on Saturday when we go to Disneyland.
That's a healthy secret.
That's a healthy secret, right? Yeah. Worse, abuse is very unhealthy.
Well, here's the interesting one too, is who are the perpetrators? Yeah. You know, it's not always the obvious choice. It's not always who we think they are.
Not at all.
You know, these statistics are crazy too. So yeah. Why don't you share a little bit about who those perpetrators are?
So here's the one that really kind of rocked my boat. 93% of juvenile sexual assault victims know their perpetrators. 34.2% mm-hmm. of the perpetrators are family members, and 58.7% were acquaintances. Only 7% were strangers to the victim. That's from the Megan's Law and Crime Victim Center. So yeah. A big majority of them is either family members or family friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, it could be, there's a lot of ways that can happen. And again, we don't have time to go into
it. No, but I would encourage you, you know, Google this up, find a case and look at that case and find out who was that perpetrator.
Yeah. I mean,
it's out there.
If you're a single mother and you're at the ball field there every weekend or, you know, once during the week and on the weekend, and you got somebody that's very, very interested in your boy all the time, you got to be careful. Even if it's a relative, you got to be careful of who you're going to allow to spend time alone with your son or daughter.
Okay. And I just want to, you know, remind everybody, this is not putting fear in you. This is educating you. We're not here to drive fear. We're here to educate. And if we don't talk about it, who's going to?
Exactly.
You know,
it needs to be talked about.
Yeah, it's a tough subject, but we got to talk about it.
Okay. Offenders are overwhelmingly male, ranging in ages from adolescents to elderly. That's the National Center of Victims of Crime. Nearly 70% of child sex offenders have between 1 and 9 victims.
That's crazy.
I know my perpetrator had, I don't know how many he had. He probably had more than
you know, at least 3 or 4.
I know at least 3 or 4, and yeah. I think he had a lot more than that. That's crazy. At least 20% of the perpetrators have 10 to 40 victims. Right. And child sex abuse prevention, that's from the child sex abuse prevention. What offenders tell us, child abuse and neglect. An average serial child molester may have as many as 400 victims in his lifetime. Right.
I can't even fathom that.
I heard an interview with another perpetrator and they asked if they could be rehabbed. He goes, we can never be rehabbed. We can never be helped. Mm. And I find that pretty much sad and probably pretty true, right? Mm-hmm. It is estimated that women are the abusers in about 14% of the cases reported. So that comes from the National Center of Victims of Crime.
I just want to touch on that. You know, where we are here in Arizona, there is a school that is a charter school here in the close area to where we are. Just about 2 weeks ago, there was a teacher that was arrested for abusing one of the boys, and it was a female. And I believe this same school has had 2 or 3 of these in the last year and a half, at least since we've lived here. But there's more and more women that are coming up as abusers. And this particular woman, it was in her 20s, and she attended the school as a child herself. So be aware, it's not just the men. We need to know that women can be abusers.
Well, how can that be sexual abuse? Because, you know, man having sex with a woman, you know, they're just popping their cherry at a young age. And that's what people think. And a lot of dads will go, high five, man, glad you got it. You know, from me, it is sexual abuse. I have heard the stories of men that have been sexually abused by women at a young age, and they absolutely do not want nothing to do with women today. They are scared to death of them.
Yeah, no, right? I get it.
So
this next one is very interesting to me. People don't, you know, we've talked about, you know, what is abuse? Who is the perpetrator? Right. But what's the cost to society? What does this cost society as a whole?
Right. So according to Kosnoff and Fassi, the sexual abuse of children costs $94 billion annually. Yeah, I said billion with a B, annually.
That is.
It costs us taxpayers $94 billion annually. The study cites direct costs such as hospitalization, chronic health problems, and law enforcement. Indirect costs included are juvenile delinquency, special education needs, and criminal behavior. And that comes from the, you can find that at Kosnoff.com, societal cost, PHP.
Well, and that, I'm assuming, but, you know, that doesn't even count. I think about, you know, yourself, with your addiction, you know, paying for the cost of getting sober, you know, the emotion and the emotional and but the dollars that go into getting sober because of abuse.
You know,
so $94 billion is a lot of money. And a lot of this is long-term ongoing,
it's ongoing care,
care
for these people. It's ongoing care. So so
the jail systems.
You know, prison systems, you know, the cost to keep people in prison, you know, the perpetrator. So it's the abuse is just absolutely astounding, the cost and the effects on human life, right? Whether it's sexual, physical, emotional, spiritual, or any of that, it doesn't matter. It's devastating and damaging to the people that it happens to.
Yeah, absolutely.
So here's some signs to look for. Now, look at these are just signs that you can to look for. It's not 100% that they've been abused, but there's a very strong chance that it is a reason for abuse, especially if it's seen as a change in behavior.
Right. I think that's the biggest key is the change of behavior that you notice. If you've got, you know, your child acting a certain way for a long period of time and all of a sudden that changes, yes, children will change as they get into their teen years. But be aware.
Be aware of what
to look for. If we're not educated on what to look for, we're not going to ever see
it. Right. And again, it's like, be present in your child's life. Right? I know things are tough out there right now with that parents having to work two jobs.
Life is just hard.
Life is hard right now. So I'm going to say something that people aren't going to like, but you know, If you can't afford to spend time and parent your children, then don't have them, period, in a conversation.
Yeah.
It's not fair to the children. It's not fair to you. It's not fair to society.
You have to invest in your family.
Absolutely, 100%. That's what's going on in this world, right? So, like, for instance, wearing a lot of baggy clothing, especially in the summertime when it's 100 degrees out and they're constantly wearing these sweatpants and they're hiding their face a lot, right? I mean, hiding their face from people is another sign because they're so full of shame that they don't want you to see them.
They don't make eye contact.
They don't make eye contact with you, right?
Yeah.
And that's because they feel dirty and do not want to bring attention to their body, right? That's
so they're hiding and covering.
Covering up. They're not showing. They've got their eyes hidden all the time. They don't shower, right? They don't want to shower, or they take prolonged showers trying to scrub the abuse off of them somehow, right? Walking with the head hanging low. I mean, I walk with my head low for I don't know how many years. I mean, my mentor in AA says, you know, Randy, he goes, I used to walk with my head just as low as yours, but over time it kept on getting higher and higher and higher. And I look straight ahead now. So, you know, my head hung low for many years, and I avoided eye contact a lot. A sudden change in behavior, that, you know, that's one of the key ones. You know, all of a sudden he just become real angry and divisive, and it just wants to fight everything. And you know, be concerned, start asking questions, and make sure that when you ask these questions, you don't give up when he just no, nothing's fine. No, dig into him. Let them know that you're noticing these changes, and it's not that you're not who, you know, the child's not who you think, you know, they were for all these years before. All of a sudden, you notice these behaviors. Like, don't just give up and give in to them, right?
Now, ask those curious questions. Right. Get them to talk.
Yeah. I mean, they change friends, right? That happened to me. I changed friends. It's like I wanted to fall into a group of people that were going to accept me. Right. No matter what, I needed acceptance and approval because I wasn't getting it at home. And
those typically aren't the best friends to be.
No, exactly.
You know,
right.
Those, you know, the change of friends. It's one thing you go from, you know, a good friend to a good friend. But a lot of times these change of friends, they go to the friends that you probably don't want your kids hanging around.
Exactly.
So if you notice that, definitely.
All right. So they lose interest in sports and hobbies. Right. That maybe they're playing baseball. I mean, I was playing baseball, playing the guitar. I quit doing all that because I lost interest in it. I wasn't getting no support, you know.
Yeah.
Your grades start slipping. I mean, I went from an A student to barely graduating high school to graduating on the dean's list in junior college. And when I was 50 some years old, so yeah. I was pretty proud of that.
Yeah, that's
but that was way
that's
after.
That's an accomplishment, but that's that was in sobriety.
Yeah, exactly. And they might start drinking and drugging.
And right? That they'll hide that, so you've got to be aware. Right, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know, and another big one is cutting and self mutilation.
Yeah,
that's tough. There's a lot of reasons for that. They'd rather deal with the pain of the cut than the pain, emotional abuse that they were feeling inside. They mm-hmm. And so we got to ask them what's going on with the cutting, right? We can't just ask these surface level questions and be happy with it. We have to know our children. If you don't know who your children are, I mean, you know who they are, but if you don't know them, I mean, really know them and understand them,
it's going to be hard.
It's going to be hard, right?
Yeah, I just want to encourage, you know, if you're a parent out there listening, if you're a grandparent out there listening, these, you know, like I said, we're here to educate. We're not here to like draw all these red flags. But if you are unsure of any of this, and if you, you know, might have some suspicion, please reach out to myself or to Randy. Mm-hmm. You can catch us through our website at healandrestorecounseling.com. You can send us an email through that. We are here to help support you as a parent, as a grandparent, as an adult, pastor of a church, whatever that looks like. The whole idea is that we need to catch these things and stop them sooner versus later.
Right.
And it's not an easy task. Randy's been on this journey his entire life. We've been on this journey together through our Courageous Healers Foundation. And it is a tough thing to crack, but we're not going to give up on that. We're going to continue to be the voice of these young men and women, young boys and girls that are struggling through this and support the parents and the family members through the process.
And the important thing to know is that this isn't a 1 month and you're fixed or 6 months.
No, this is a lifelong journey.
You're going to be on this journey of healing for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Period in the conversation. You might be shaking your head going, I don't understand why it has to be that way. Just take it from somebody that's been doing it so far for 18 years.
Yeah.
That it's the damage is incomprehensible.
Yeah.
Right. And it's the scarring is deeper than you could ever imagine. And things are going to come up.
But it's 5, not 10,
15 years down the road.
Yeah. But I will say it's not impossible.
No.
To heal with this.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Some people think this is an undaunting task. No. Well, it is because it's unknown.
Right.
But when you put your head down, as Randy has learned, and I have learned, and you focus on what is and what can be and who you are created to be, you can heal through this.
Yeah,
definitely.
You can definitely heal through it. Yeah. It just ends up being you have to. Your whole life is a journey because what we're doing is we're changing everything about us,
mm-hmm.
right? We're becoming the person that God created us to be. And we're taking, you know, 10, 20, 30, in my case, 38 years of beliefs and thought patterns and mm-hmm. behaviors. And I'm changing those.
Yeah,
and that doesn't happen overnight. You got to figure 38 years. It took me to develop these patterns. So it's going to take, you know, that much time.
And that's why it's so critical. That was 38 years of it.
Right.
If we can help these children at a younger age,
right.
at 12, 13, 14, right. 15 years old, they don't have 38 years.
They
only have 10, 12, 13, 14 years to unwind.
Absolutely.
So we have to be, our awareness needs to be heightened when it comes to abuse of children.
Right.
And even adults, if there is an adult out there that's listening and you're like, oh my gosh, this was me. Now it makes more sense. Yes, this has happened. It's not too late to get help.
No.
You know, start now so that you can be that person that God's created you to be and your family desires in you.
Right.
I desire in you. Right. And, you know, I'm so grateful for our journey. I mean, never in a million years would I ever have thought that I would meet a guy who had been sexually abused, which I had really no clue what that was. And then we'd go through addiction and we go through trauma and we go through all these things as a family. And here we are 40 years later and we're on the other side helping other people.
Right.
Who would have thought?
Right.
But you know what? I'm grateful for
that. Well, I never would have thought in a million years that I would be where I'm at today, because I was so full of anger, hate, and rage, and victimism that I never ever thought I'd be where I'm at today.
No,
But
no.
you can heal. You
Yeah.
absolutely can.
Yeah. So we're here for you. Like I said, you can check us out at healandrestorecounseling.com. If you want to email us any questions you have, any concerns you have, healandrestorecounseling@gmail.com. You'll also find us on our social media. We're
Yeah.
both on Instagram as well as Facebook at Heal and Restore Counseling. And we also have our podcast, Heal and Restore Podcast, that we release as you're listening to every Monday. So make sure that you're sharing that with others too, because we're here to inform, we're here to educate, we're here to just be part of the solution. And sometimes part of the solution is talking about hard things. So we're here to do that. And then the last thing I just want to share is that we still have our book. We have two books out right now that are of most value. The one we've talked about today, which is Healing the Wounded Child Within. You can find that on Amazon. And we also have our How to Heal and Restore Your Marriage, which can also be obtained through Amazon. However, if you go to our website, you can request a PDF version of that for free, and we'd be happy to send that to
Yes,
you. So,
absolutely.
thank you, honey. I feel very somber. I feel very, I don't know, the subject always just brings me to a place
Well,
of balance.
it's when you think about it, when we first started talking about this 18 years ago, it was a lot of anger and hate in the conversation, right?
It was hard conversation,
Oh
but it was
yeah, we
happening.
didn't want to talk. It was just a lot of hate because I was full of anger and hate, but over time, it's softened, and now,
That's what I feel. I feel really soft right now.
yeah. And when I get excited, that's my passion. I'm not angry. It's my passion because I can get fired up about this.
Yeah, you
So,
definitely can. So
okay.
thank
So,
you. If you've listened all the way through, bless you. Thank
yes,
you.
thank you.
Make sure you share this with people that you know, because again, we're here to educate and to bring the awareness out for the healing.
Yes,
Thank you.
absolutely. So, remember again, thank you from both of us. And remember, if nobody tells you that they love you today, Randy does.
Kathy
More
does.
importantly, God does. Be blessed, everybody. Have a great week.
Have a good one.
This has been the Heal and Restore Podcast with Randy and Kathy Boyd. We'll have a new episode every Monday. Please like us and be sure to press the follow button on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and 5 other platforms. If you'd like to know more about the services Randy and Kathy offer, please visit them at healandrestorecounseling.com. Thank you for spending time with us, and we'll see you next week. And remember, if nobody tells you they love you today, Randy and Kathy do.